Okay. Where are we at tonight? Anybody know? Chapter 4. There we go. Everybody's keeping up with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing of myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who makes thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if you didst receive it, why doest thou glory, as if thou had not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are dishonorable, and you are honorable, and we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it; being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know that and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you desire? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Okay? Let's go back and see what we got to say about it. Short chapter, but boy, it's got a lot of meat in it. Let a man, or let humanity, in this way consider us. That's what Paul's saying. This is the way you should consider us. As the what? As the servants of Christ. That's the way you should see it. And stewards of the mysteries of God. That's the way someone should recognize a man or woman of God. Do you understand what that means?
No.
It says, you should in this way consider us to be the ministers of God, not as a person, and reverence the person as being someone special, but reverencing the gift of Christ in that person. Do you hear what I'm saying? You reverence, that's because this is what God has chosen. And if God has chosen this vessel, who am I to say that's not the right vessel? Who am I to say, I don't want to hear what that person's saying because I don't like the way they dress, I don't like the way they talk or what they look or anything else? You hear me? See, God speaks through whatever he wants to. In the Old Testament, he spoke to Balaam through a dumb ass. Well, if you ask me today, and I believe the Lord would verify it, there's a lot of dumb asses being spoken right through this pulpit. You hear me? There's a lot of people standing in that same wild-ass nature in the pulpit trying to say, thus saith the Lord, and they don't even have a clue what God said. They're speaking out of that ass nature, that wild beast nature that they were born with. Absolutely, they've been called by man and not by God. And they're getting their reward. They're getting puffed up right now. So that's all they want. That's what they're going to get. But believe me, I don't think this world has anything to offer that can compare to what God has for us when we step on the other side. Okay. But as the servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, do you think that this book is written by someone that was ignorant?
Nope.
Not for a moment. Nope. Paul wrote this and said, you should treat us as servants of God and stewards of the mystery. He's telling you that the servants of God have something that everybody does not have. What is that?
Understanding
of the mysteries of God. Now, does it make the person any better? It just makes him a vessel God has chosen to place that gift within. That's all it is. But he said you should still recognize that gift and honor the gift that's in the vessel. Okay? You can't dishonor the vessel if there's a gift in it. Okay? Kind of goes together. He said, but moreover, it is required or demanded in stewards that a man be found what? Or, it should be, the King James says faithful, but it should be trustworthy. The language literally says trustworthy. So, if a steward, if I'm going to be a steward of God, then the only way I'm going to be a steward of God is one thing. What is it? I have to be trustworthy. Now, if I'm trustworthy in the least, then am I going to be faithful in much? Yes, you are. That's how God finds out. If you can be trusted with the beggarly elements of this world, then you can be trusted with the true riches of the kingdom. Okay, you just misheard me. That's all right. See, that's how God tests you. God's not going to give you the wealth of this world to see if you're trustworthy. If you'll take the meagerly elements of this world and you're faithful in them, what's it tell him? That you're faithful in your heart. So you don't have to worry about you, does he? But if somebody, take most people today, and I'll say take the average person today that's living in a medium income, just getting along, just struggling through, knocking through every day, not really concerned, but you're kind of concerned about, well, can I make my payments and stuff? But you take that person and immediately throw him in to be a millionaire and tell me what's going to happen to his life. What's the odds of going at them?
Or he could just go and live like he was, like he didn't even have the world.
But how many people will do that? Very few.
I wouldn't change.
Yeah, but very few would stay the way they are. They'd go out and buy new homes, new cars, and impress the world with it, see? And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for someone who the finances can't change. Every man or woman in this book that served God and fell on their face was for finances or sex. Do you realize that? That's the two things. They failed. When they were tested, they failed because they gave up, they caved in to the wealth or the riches and notoriety or to the opposite sex. What? It was a lust of some sort or another. Lust of money, lust of the flesh, whatever, you know. It was a lust in their life. And if you're faithful and trustworthy, there won't be a lust in your life. It's not important what I possess or you possess in life. It's what we do with what we've got. See? We don't have to have a whole lot to do something with it, do we? If you are a good steward, you're going to make something go with not very much. True? There's a good sign that what's in your heart. When you don't have to go in debt to get something, instead of going to JCPenney's or one of these big places and buying this expensive stuff, you'll go to the dollar store and buy something. See? You can go find something that'll fit in your home, and most people wouldn't know it came from the dollar store. See? Because you use your head. You're a steward of what God's given you. And that's just a little thing we're talking about, finances of the world. But when we're talking about the truth of God, there's the true riches of the kingdom. And if we can't handle this money stuff, this physical stuff we get in our hands, what are we going to do with the true riches of the kingdom? We'll abuse that too. We'll abuse that and waste it, destroy it, whatever way we can, because we'll be concerned more about ourselves in this thing than with God. Okay? But we're required, it's demanded in a steward that he be found faithful or trustworthy. Okay? But with me, or to me, Paul says, it's a very small thing that I should be judged or examined by you, or by man's judgment, or man's what? Well, the word judgment is an unusual word here, because it doesn't mean judgment at all. It says literally, by you, let me read this again, but to me, the word with me should be to me, it is a very small thing that I, and the word should, it shouldn't be in there, I be judged or examined by you or by humanity's what? It's the word hemera, by man's day. It's the word, Greek word for day. Okay? So I should, he said, I'm not going to be, he said, it's no big thing if the world wants to judge me by their day or their, I'm trying to think of another word for it. Their age, this age that we live in, the world. You know, he said, go ahead and judge me by that if you want to. It doesn't make any difference. It's a little thing to me. It don't mean anything. Okay? No. You don't have to live to humanity's standard. See? Me and Lois have been talking about something for a month or so now about not having, and she's finally come to an understanding that she don't have to prove herself to anyone. Or to me. Or nobody. I mean, I'm her husband. She don't have to prove herself to me. She don't even have to prove herself to God. There's only one person you got to prove yourself to. To your own self be true. Okay. You've got to do one thing. You've got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, nothing else matters. If you don't have any identity. Okay? Okay. Let me say something about, I want to back up in this. You can only deceive yourself.
You can't do that.
What?
You cannot deceive yourself.
Sure you can. Well, let me share something. Well, I didn't say that. I said you can deceive self.
Oh, you can get yourself, thinking.
Well, the book says that deception comes from within. See? So the only one that can deceive you is you. Nobody else can. If the deception's within you, you're going to be deceived. Okay? I wanted to make a statement here about this in this second verse again. I'll kick back on something here. When it says you need to be trustworthy or faithful, okay? Now, we use these words very commonly together. We take the word trust, worthy, and a lot of times the same words used out of it, this one. Okay? Believe. This one? I'm sure you did. Okay? Most people think trust somebody or believe somebody is the same thing. Do you believe that? Not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. Because... Okay, but I'm saying that if the people can take these words and use them together and they overlap and they're really not supposed to be there. Okay? Now, people say this, that they're trustworthy. Well, if you're trustworthy, there's got to be something that goes with this.
The Lord's help.
proof. There's got to be some proof to it. Fruit. There's got to be something showing there to make you trustworthy. You can't just say, I'm trustworthy, and expect somebody to believe it. Now, people use this word believe, and when they say believe, okay, guess what it all it is? It's just words. Both of those, you need something with it. But this one here is very difficult because people say, I believe. You don't know what anybody says until you see some fruit out of it, do you? Same thing. But there's got to be some proof with these words when we use them. I hear people say this all the time. I'm a man of faith. You ever hear anybody say that? Or I'm a woman of faith. Well, do you know what that means? No. No, if it's true, what does it mean? They should be full of faith. You know what? They ain't. See? If they was, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying the way they're saying it. They wouldn't have to say it. They believe, see, just a word, because the Bible says you must do what? Believe that He is. See? And we'll find out what they are with the test coming along. See? But people talk words, and that's what Paul is talking to these Corinthians about. There's got to be a proof in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's got to be some evidence that what you are hearing is bringing fruit out into your life. And that's why Paul's addressing these people here in Corinthians about this. Is dead. Right? James chapter 2. Okay? So he said it's a small thing to him if he is examined or judged by you or by humanity's day. Okay? Or age. Yes, I judge or examine not myself. He says, I don't even judge myself. Why? The next verse gives you the answer. Because I know nothing by myself. What's he telling you? He doesn't trust this thing up here. He trusts the Spirit of God. He said, because I know nothing by myself, yet am I not in this rendered innocent? He said, am I not rendered innocent in the fact that I know nothing? And I'm not judging myself, but who's judging us? But he that judges me or examines me, okay, is the Lord. Now, if we would take time to listen what the book says, put the pieces together. And I know it's difficult sometimes until after you've done it for a long time that when you read something here, something kicks all over the book. It just lights up. It don't happen overnight. It takes time. But when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say just before he died? Not the last thing, but right before he died, he said something to them. Father, forgive them. There was the Lord's judgment upon humanity. Now, so when I hear it now, how can Paul say what he's saying? Because he heard what Jesus said on the cross. Do I think he was standing there listening? No, I don't think that. But I think by the Spirit, he was taught when he was in the desert with Jesus in the Spirit, being taught for years, I think he got to see all this. And he knew that the Lord's judgment was already passed. See? Everybody thinks today that God's out here judging everybody. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe we're reaping what we sow. The Spirit. I said in the Spirit, not the man. He was in the Spirit. And he knew that the judgment was already passed. See? Why? Because Jesus had judged humanity. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's what Paul understood. And that's why he says, no man judges me. It's a light thing if you judge me. I don't even judge myself. The Lord judges me. There's a tremendous understanding in this. It does not give you the liberty, as some people teach, to do anything you want to do. Because you will reap what you sow. Right? But you got to realize that you've already been judged by God. Verse 5, he goes on to say, therefore judge what? The word nothing is incorrect. It should be judge not before what? The set or proper time. It's the word kairos. It means set or proper time. So don't judge before it's time to be judged. Do you know how many people want to judge people?
Most.
They want to judge. Do you know how many people do judge? Most. They judge somebody by looking at them and judge by the outward appearance of them, like the story you just told tonight, Bob. That could be a wonderful person that's being trashed out because he doesn't meet the standard of their eyes. See? And we don't have to live by the standard of this world. Therefore, judge not before the set or proper time until the Lord do what? See, I can't judge before the Lord appears. Now, I'm not talking about this thing like they talk about second coming, he's going to come down out of the sky. We're not even talking that foolishness. We're talking about until God appears where? In you. When the Lord appears in you, and you actually start ministering and judging by the Spirit of God, by the Word, according to this Word, because He'll never contradict that Word, will He? And didn't Jesus say, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out? Then why come the church is shutting the doors on people? Okay? They've judged people before the set or proper time. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the set or proper time for judgment is already over. Because He already judged it. They're doing God's work for Him. Yeah, they're helping Him out. But until the Lord appears, who also, or indeed, will what? Shed light on the hidden things of darkness. He's going to shed the light on the hidden things of darkness. He's the day star that arises in your heart, right? And when He does, He'll shine on that darkness or that ignorance in our minds and will make apparent or make known by what? By the counsels or the purposes of the heart, right? Okay, this word here, let me back up a minute. This word manifest in the King James, it literally says, He will make this known by touching the counsels of the heart. Make known by touching the counsels of the heart. Okay? Absolutely. It's the mind of Christ. He's awakening the mind of Christ in you. And then shall what? Then shall every man what? What does King James say about that? He said, every man will have praise of God. God ain't going to praise you. You know what it really says? The language says this, then every man shall be the praise of God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. We will be the praise of God. You don't have to work at praising God. You have to be the praise of God. All you have to do is be what you're supposed to be, and everything else take care of itself, won't it? And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred. Literally, it should say this. I have applied to myself and Apollos. It says in a figure transferred. Those words ain't there. It just says, I have applied to myself and Apollos for you. He said, I've took these principles and put them in my life and Apollos' life for you. Who's he talking to? No. He's talking to first fruit. Who's he talking to? Now tell me. I want to hear something else there. There you go. He's talking to you as an individual. Okay? That's what I wanted to hear. I want you to understand that God is talking to you through this scripture. Okay? He said, Apollos, for you, the word sakes isn't there, in order that you might learn, take the word might out, shouldn't be there, it's an added word, in order that you learn what? In us? Mm-mm. The word in is by. You learn by us not to think, and the word of men shouldn't be there either. Those two words should be crossed out, they're added words, that you should not think above or beyond that which is written. Now, did you hear that? According to, don't think beyond what is written. Don't put all this other stuff in here that does not fit. That's where it says in the Revelation, don't add to and don't take away. See, people add to and take away. If people would do nothing but preach by the Spirit of God and stay within the boundaries of this Word, they'll never have a problem. You know that? But everybody is trying to preach some new thing that nobody knows about. And it can't be substantiated by the Word of God. But you know what? I tell them the same thing when people say, why do you always stay in those Scriptures? You want to tell them? I ain't got it all preached yet. And whenever you get it all preached, then maybe you should go out and preach outside of it. But I don't think I've found anybody yet that knows everything about that book. Have you? And until you know this thing inside and out, up and down, east, west, north, and south, you've got no business preaching outside of it. I don't. I don't know everything about this book yet. Done a lot of it, but I don't know all of it yet. And every time, I looked at some scriptures today. I was in the Word about 3-4 hours a day. And I saw things, and it was so hard for me to try to keep in the line of the study I was in because I was seeing so much other things. It was just, my mind was just exploding like fireworks. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I put a lot of hours in. And you know what? I can't get enough of it. I've never lost the fire. I've never lost the zeal of being excited about the Word of God. Beg pardon? It's the day it's in. It's the day of the Lord. I can't get enough of it. And I don't understand why people aren't excited about it. You know, there's just so much excitement for me in here. And then I get someone that sends me a message from Canada or Kansas or I can't even think of all the places. And they say, you opened my mind up. You set me free by what God's shown you. Thank you for being bold enough to say the truth. What option do I have? I can't help but say what I know. That's why you give it to me. And I got to be a good steward in it. Okay? You do too. What you know, you got to be a good steward in it. But don't go beyond, the word above shouldn't be, it should be beyond. Don't go beyond that which is written in order that not one of you be puffed up over one or over another. Puffed up one over another. Okay? Preferring one over another. That's what it should say. Let me read it again. Let me start in the middle there where it says, which is written there. Okay. In order that not one of you be puffed up beyond, preferring one over another. See, if I get puffed up or someone gets puffed up, that's where Paul started this chapter out. One says I'm Paul. One says I'm of Apollos. Right? One says I'm of Cephas. That's what he's talking about being puffed up. You know how many people's puffed up today? Oh, my favorite preacher is so-and-so. My favorite one's this one. See, they're puffed up, and who are they watching? The man and not the spirit of the man. If they just get back to the spirit of it, they wouldn't see that person. They shouldn't see the person anyway. Verse 7. Because who makes you to differ from another? And what do you possess that you did not receive? Okay. Nothing. You received everything from the Lord, haven't we? So what do you have that you did not, what do you possess? The words, what hast thou, should be, what do you possess that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast? Why do you boast? As if you had not received it. Why do you act like you didn't receive it from somebody? That's one of the biggest things I see, such pride in ministry, because they think they know something more than somebody else. There's no new truth. There's never been a new truth. The truth was there at the beginning of the foundation of this world. And God is uncovering truth in our relationship with Him, but the truth was already there, and it's God's truth. And who He chooses to show it to is His business. That's it. That's it. Okay?
I'm not me. God said that.
Sure. He said he's not a man that he could lie.
I really don't rest in that.
Okay. Okay. Verse 8. Even you are full or saturated, okay? Remember what this book is written to? The Corinthians, the saturated ones, the full ones, the first fruit. He said, even now you are rich. You have reigned as kings. Literally, you rule as kings, separate or apart from us. And I wish truly to God you did reign in order that we also, and cross out that word might, that we also reign or rule with you. See? He said, hey, I hope you do rule because I want to rule with you. The Corinthians were puffed up. We're talking back there. He was talking to the people, and it goes to today. He said, you're already ruling. But this is the religious side. People get puffed up when God gives them some knowledge, and they went off and started building their own kingdom, more or less. Well, we rule now by doing nothing but what the Father says. We do nothing but what Father says. Yes, but that's ruling. We live, rule, and reign in Him. We don't have to do anything without doing it.
How can you rule if you're following you?
Well, okay, I understand.
You know what you're saying, but I don't.
Okay. If I'm working with the mind of Christ, I can make decisions from the Spirit of God within me, same as you, and that is ruling and reigning by doing nothing other than what the Spirit of God tells me to do.
Oh, it is?
Sure it is. I'm ruling and reigning here over this in this body. Okay? So I'm living and ruling and reigning in Him.
We'll slow tonight.
That's okay. You do have the permission to ask. Okay. Where am I at? 9. Because I think that God has set forth, or literally exhibited, us the apostles finally, as it were, appointed to death. Because we are made a spectacle. You know what this word spectacle means? To be gazed at and made sport of. To be mocked. To be made fun of. Hello! How many people wants to be an apostle? See? Who wants to be part of what they call the fivefold ministry? The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. See, we're not set out here to impress people. We're set out here to be mocked. And made fun of, made sport of. Mm-hmm. Now, how many people want to line up for that one? See, because everybody thinks when you're a pastor, all you get is all the honor and the praise and the glory. Well, if that's what you think you're going to get and you get that, you sure ain't got nothing coming later, have you? Yeah, you can get all kinds of things thrown at you. Huh? If you're called by man, that's what you're going to get. If you're called by God, you're going to be a spectacle. You're going to be mocked and made fun of. And that's a sign of being where you should be. See? And it's not easy to walk in that realm. Jesus said, if you don't suffer with me, you'll not reign with me. So if we don't learn to take this abuse from, quote, religious brothers and sisters, they're half brothers at best. They're not our blood brothers, are they? They're half brothers and sisters. And it comes from our friends and our family and whoever. It doesn't make any difference. If we don't learn to take this abuse without retaliating, are we truly going to grow up into the Son of God?
Well, that goes back to verse 5, when it says, don't judge anything for time.
Right.
These people are immature.
They're children.
Right.
They're children. They say they want to be kings and mature sons, but they act like little children. And you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have a problem identifying it. He set us forth as apostles, finally, as it were appointed to death, because we are made a spectacle to the world, the cosmos, the orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity, and to angels, and to humanity. Okay? So we're made a spectacle before all the world, aren't we? everything. We're made a spectacle. How many people likes to be made out of a spectacle? Huh? It's hard. You're rejected, just like he was rejected. If you're not rejected, you're not going to make it into the first fruit realm, because you have to be rejected as he was rejected. That's the pattern that he went through. I heard someone just recently tell me something. I heard another man, I won't say his name, but this man said, Jesus was not the sacrifice. Now, this was a kingdom preacher, supposedly. See? He said, Jesus was not our sacrifice. And I said, what? Had a man call me from out New Mexico and say, I heard this man say this. And I just kind of said, well, I don't know. I never heard what was said. It's out of context. I don't know if it's taken out of context. I'll just wait on it. Well, just recently I talked to a man from a closer locale, and he said, this man made this statement. I wanted to ask you about it. Okay? And he said, Jesus was not the sacrifice according to Scripture. And I said, where did he get it at? He said, he went in the Old Testament. This is how people's minds can play on things. When you see something in shadow and type, is it a perfected picture? A shadow, if I take my hand and put it over this table here in this light, there's a shadow right there, and I can see that shadow and tell it's a hand. But does it look exactly like the hand? So the pattern only gives you an image, some kind of an image of a hand, doesn't it? That's all it is. It's just an image of it. A shadow. Not the reality of it, is it? But this man said, because the sacrifice in Exodus, when they had the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb that they slayed, what did they do with that lamb? What did they do with it?
You mean as a sacrifice?
Yeah. What did they do with it? They eat it. They eat it. Now, he said, because, this is how he justified the statement, because they did not eat Jesus' body, he wasn't the sacrifice. So help me. See, there's the things that don't make no sense. Now, a man that knows a lot of things, how does he get off that far? Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it was a spiritual truth that the man missed. The pattern back there was setting up the reality of the Spirit today. Well, I don't think he's sincerely trying to do it. I just said he got off. That's right. He missed it, didn't he? See? And that's how close. And this is a man who has been in this Word for many, many, many years, and I have respected him a lot. But, I mean, that's pretty bad. There's a few things going bad there, but that's not my place to judge him. You know, God's going to deal with that, but I will say that ain't the truth, what he said. Huh? Yeah. If I make a mistake, I should come back and tell you, but I don't think you'll ever hear it out of that. But no. No. But he should... He could do it, but I don't think he ever will. First, he has to see that he's wrong. See? That he hasn't done yet, or he wouldn't be saying it. Okay. Look at verse 10. We are fools, what? Through Christ. The word sake shouldn't even be there. We are fools through Christ, but you are wise in Christ. Now, you know what Paul's doing right here? Watch what he's doing. Then tell me what he's doing. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised or dishonored. What's he doing? No, he's mocking them. He's taunting him. He's being sarcastic with them and saying, we're fools through Christ, but, boy, you're wise. You see what I'm saying? He's being sarcastic in his statement. He's saying, we're fools in Christ, but you're wise in Christ. Huh? It's an unveiling. He's telling them a truth, and he's being a little sarcasm in doing it, but he's telling them a truth. And if I see myself as wise in Christ, guess where I really am? I'm a fool. Because I have no gift above anybody else. Christ is in all people. It's just Father's choice how it comes out. He's the one that sets it all up. He said, even to this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked, And the word naked does not mean nude. It means being poorly clothed. It means they don't have enough clothes in the wintertime to protect them from the weather, okay? And we are buffeted or mistreated and have no certain dwelling place. What that literally means is we're homeless. We don't have a place to sleep every night. You know why? Because we're sojourners in the land. We're aliens. We're passing through. We don't have all this stuff that the world says you have to be successful. I don't have to possess anything to be successful in the kingdom of God except one thing, Christ. That's all it does. It takes you to make you successful in the kingdom of God is Christ. It's not all these worldly possessions. Verse 12 goes on and says, and we labor. We work hard is what it means. Working with our own hands. Boy, that'll kill most preachers. They'd have to work. They'd have to put a blister or a callus on their hands. Most preachers look like doctors. Because doctors' hands are constantly being washed and put in lotion to keep soft so their sensitivities there do the surgery and things that doctors do. They can't have rough, hard hands. They need soft hands. But he said these people work hard with their own hands. These are preachers. How many preachers you see on TV that don't have a manicure? They have a manicure and these fancy suits and gator shoes and all this fancy stuff. Why? What does that do to prove that you're godly? Something's wrong. They're above it. But the man of God, see, the picture has all been turned. The picture says this. Jesus said it this way. I didn't come to be served. I come to be your servant. So if that's our pattern, what are we supposed to be as ministers of God? Servants. We're here to be servants, not to serve somebody else, not for somebody to come and serve us. See, we've got it all turned around. Now, we could take it in any form you want to, and I can put that same pattern to use. Okay? In my relationship with my wife, what am I supposed to be? Is she here to serve me, or am I here to serve her? I'd just say it this way. Yes. We're to serve each other. See? We're to honor each other and to serve each other in that same relationship. As friends, what are we here for? Am I here to serve you, Lloyd, or are you here to serve me? Yes. See? Yes. See? We're here to serve each other in that same relationship. Any relationship we have, it should be the same way. We should always esteem the other higher than ourselves. How many people do that? Not many.
Everybody's trying to get one up on somebody.
See, instead of trying to get one up, we should be trying to get one down. We should be trying to be under somebody else. Let the other one have the glory. Let them have it. Give them some honor. You know, you don't know what you'll do to somebody by giving them a little bit of encouragement. Okay? Where are we at now? We labor working with our own hands, being reviled, or that word reviled means verbally abused. Being verbally abused, we bless. Being persecuted, we what? We put up with it. Endure it. We put up with it. Mm-hmm. So when we're verbally abused, we're persecuted, we put up with it. How many people does that? The first thing they want to do is throw up their shield. See? If we have a self-defense mechanism, something tells me, like Paul said back in the first chapter, if there is yet quarrels and strifes and things, disputes among you, what are you? You're yet carnal. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. If we're going to be sons of God, that has to go. That's not my choice, is it? According to Paul's writing, if we're going to be sons of God, we cannot have quarreling and fussing and fighting all the time. Can we? What does that do to 90% of the church? See? Because all they do is fuss and feud. And most of your preachers, I've heard it said this way, they come in church and they bless God, bless God, bless God, and before they get out the door, they kick their wife, spit on their dog, and slap their kids. Now, what kind of nature is that? Yeah, huh? And de-elder their elder on the way, see? I mean, do whatever they want to do. The nature of God, if it's the nature of God, cannot change. I am the Lord God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change in it. If you can't be the way you are here, out there, then you're being a hypocrite. You got to be the same wherever you go. It can't change from by position. It can't change by situation. Christ is Christ. True or false? Can't change it. Got to be the same wherever you go. And that's called stability. You know what the world's looking for? Something stable to grab a hold of. Because the church has surely not given the world anything to hold on to that's stable. Has it? You've got to give them some stability. And if we have to be that stumbling, if we have to be that block that is used for the cornerstone that gets buried in the earth and carries the load of the rest of humanity, so be it. So be it. If we're going to be the sacrifice, so be it. If that's what it takes to get them in, what difference does it make? And I don't mean go out and beat somebody in the head and drag them into the church meetings. That's not what I'm talking about. If I have to be a mute lamb for the rest of humanity, so be it, I'll be a mute lamb. He was, wasn't he? Then what's my pattern? What right have I got to complain and murmur? Tell me. I don't have a right. Sons of God don't have any rights except to obey what Father says. Yes and amen. Being defamed, verse 13. The word defamed means being insulted. We receive consolation. It says we entreat, means we receive consolation. Being, isn't that hard to understand? Being insulted, we receive consolation. Jesus said, when they say all manner of evil about you and lie about you, you're blessed and great's your reward in the Spirit. Right? So guess what? When someone insults you, what should you get out of it? See? You should realize that they're really doing you a favor. They're not doing it to you. They're doing something for me. They're letting me see how much of the nature of God is truly in my life. Because it's not natural for someone to be insulted, to be verbally abused and persecuted, and just sit there and look at them. You know what that is? It's called supernatural. It's called being spiritual. That's who you spiritual people are. You'll see them. He said, we are made the filth. Is that right? Literally the word filth right there should say this. We are the sacrifice for redemption of the world. The word filth should be the sacrifice for redemption of the world. Well, because that's what the word really says. The language really says the sacrifice for redemption. Now I'll get to it in a minute. Well, let me get the whole verse here and put it together. Show you. It says that we are made the sacrifice for redemption. Did God say anywhere that we was filth? That's an English translation. It's wrong. But we are the sacrifice for redemption. True or false? Okay. And the two words "and" are, it said we're made the sacrifice for redemption, the off-scouring of all to this day. And now, you know what that word means there? The off-scouring? That's where it says scum. We are the scum of all to this day. How much lower can you get? We are the scum. And another way that word that there for all scouring means the scum or the sacrifice of all to this day. We're the sacrifice or we're the scum. How much value was placed upon Jesus when he was dying? Nothing. See, that was the off scouring. There was the scum. They saw him as nothing. Kill him, get him out of our way. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's exactly what they're saying for us. Get him out of the way. Shut him up. Do whatever you can. Get him shut up. That's all they want to do, shut you up. They've never been able to stop the mind of God, have they? They tried to get Moses as a baby. They killed Abel, but there was another seed coming, right? You can't stop it. He said, I'm alive forevermore, so there's no way they're going to stop it anyway. So we got to realize this is something that we are. This is the way people look at us. We're not going to be popular in this world. If anybody's looking to be popular and sit on a golden throne, you miss the whole point of God's experience in our lives. Okay? You need to go back to church if that's what you want. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame or confound you. The word shame should be confound. So I don't write these things to confound you. I'm not trying to confuse you and mess you up. Do you know how many people are disillusioned when they read this? When they hear what I've said tonight, do you know how many people are disillusioned by what they've heard the church tell them? You're going to have these robes of white linen and wear golden crowns and have rubies and jewels and all this stuff all over you, and you're going to walk around, everybody's going to bow to you. That's a disillusionment, isn't it? There is no way you're going to see it happen in your life. It should be confounded. Confound. I didn't write these things to confound you, but as my beloved sons, I what? Not warn you, he said, but I remind you. Hear what he said? The word remind. That means that you had it in your mind before. All he's doing is calling it to your remembrance. John 14:26, he said, I'm going to go away and send you another comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, and he will call all things to your remembrance. Hello? Isn't that reminding you? He's calling it to your remembrance. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. Because if, not though, if you have 10,000 instructors. You know what the word instructor is? Yeah. Look here. I'm going to write on the board so you can see it. BOYLEADERS. Though you have 10,000 baby leaders, boy leaders,